Here's our pastor.
Psalm 107 verse 13 says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses." Verse 20, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Last, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 I want to use for a thought, a title or a tag to this message this morning: praise God at least for his word. Amen. Praise God at least for his word. Amen. Amen. When we look at the book of Psalms, this book is the liturgical, or the basically the hymn book of the Hebrew church. It is the hymn book that they use during time of worship to cause them to reflect on God's goodness, to remember where they were and how God helped them through their hardest times. You can go to the book of Psalm any time of your life, in any situation of your life, and you can find there something that will lift you up, something that will encourage your faith, something that will make you realize that God understands where you are. Amen. But as we talk about this, and I do want to continue to focus on the word of God because it is important. The word of God in today's society has been put secondary to everything else. The word of God is challenged in its authority. It is challenged to many of us. It's just a best-selling book, piece of literature. It's not the actual word of God, especially for many of those who are in America. Do you know that more than half of the Christians in America believe that the Bible is just a good literature, that from cover to cover is not really the word of God? It's a shame that they don't believe it, because if you could just believe it and read it and live by it, you would find life and you'd find truth. Amen. And it has nothing new under the sun. Anything you're dealing with in life, you can find an example in the Bible, and you can hold God accountable that he will do what he did for somebody else. He'll do it just for you. Amen. Amen. And so we have to make sure we understand the word of the Lord. We have to put the word of God in the forefront of our lives and hide his word in our hearts. We have to make sure that we memorize his word so that whenever we are under attack, that our minds won't be lost in the attack, that we'll be able to gird up the loins of our minds so that we can once again be what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. We cannot really truly worship God if we don't know what his word says. Amen. I know that many of us, we praise him, but the Bible said, "Let everything that hath breath praise him. So even the birds praise him. But do they know his word? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I do know that in order to worship him, you have to worship him because you know his word. Now, who is the word of God? John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And the word came down and dwelled among us. And he, the word is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so I do want to continue our emphasis on the word, but I do want you to know that we ought to at least praise God for his word. Amen. 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 And then so here in Psalm number 107, you'll find out that in this psalm, it's a psalm of praise, and begins off by telling us we ought to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, this psalm, being that it starts out talking about give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. The first thing that we should do every day is thank God for his mercy and his grace. Because if it had not been for his mercy and his mercy is new every morning. That's what the scripture says. Mercy is new every morning. We ought to be thankful for the new mercies we receive, because we know my wretchedness, the wretched side of me, how sometimes I don't think right, sometimes I don't act right. I wish I had somebody. I need the mercies of God. And so I have to have the mercies of God in order for me to make it. And because you know what mercy is? Mercy is God not giving you what you truly deserve. Because when we are sinful, when we don't always make the mark and we miss the mark, we deserve death. We deserve sickness. We deserve to get run over by the bus. We deserve for the devil to just have his way with us because we've disobeyed the word of God. But because he's rich in mercy, we don't get that, and he does not give us what we truly deserve. Now then again, we have grace, which is God giving us what we don't really deserve. Come on and say amen. I don't really deserve eternal life. I don't really deserve the blessings of God that make it rich and add no sorrow, but he gives it to me because of his grace. Lord have mercy. But then he goes on in the same psalm, and he talks about how we ought to let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for those that have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. In other words, those who've been saved and brought back from the hand of the enemy. It's not that we as children of God are not going to encounter something. It's not that we're not going to have to deal with the devil, deal with people who are devilish. Amen. But he says we ought to rejoice, and we ought to say so when God brings us out of it. It's going to be tough today. That's okay. We ought to rejoice when we realize that if it hadn't been for God snatching us out of what we were in, buying us back. Oh, come on and say amen. If it had not been for the shedding of Jesus' blood, we would be on our way to a burning hell. Amen. Separation from God. He goes on and he cries out from the north, south, east, west, wherever you are. He said, you know, you need to praise and worship God because he is what? Worthy of it. Amen? Amen. But in this psalm, it is a common phrase that continues throughout this particular psalm. It is a sort of a longer psalm. But if you look at it, the same thing is written over and over after he gives reason why. All the time, he continued to give reason why we ought to praise God. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. If nothing else, you ought to just praise God for what you know he's done. Because he's been what? Good. And he's not just been good to me, but he's been good to my children too. Oh, come on and say amen here. It's a common phrase, and it was coined over and over in this particular psalm because they gave reason why. He would say, well, God did this, this, and this, and then he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. I imagine that the psalm writer here was feeling somewhat like I do sometime when I come to church and go to church, amen, and don't nobody want to praise the Lord but me. Y'all ever been there? Ain't nobody in the house want to praise the Lord but you. Everybody else still thinking about their problems. Everybody else still thinking about their pain. But oh, if men would just see how good God has been to them, they would be able to truly praise the Lord. When you get your mind off what you don't have and start thinking about what God has in your life and what he's placed in your life and what you do have your clutches on, you'll be able to praise God. When you stop thinking about the danger that you're about to face and start remembering that the danger that you could have faced, that if it hadn't been for God delivering you, Lord have mercy in here, then you'll stop looking. Come on and say amen. When we stop thinking about who's not in our life and start remembering that if God is in our life, he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and he'll be with me even until the end of the world. When I start to look at those things, I then can say I'm going to praise him. I'm not going to wait for my role to praise him. I'm not going to wait for the pastor to say lift your hands, throw your hands up, come on, say hallelujah. I'm not going to wait for Brother Gus to play my favorite song, but I'm going to tell the Lord thank you anyway. I'm going to tell God hallelujah. I'm celebrating you because you're in my life and you're too good for me to sit down on my blessed assurance and not lift my hands and not say amen and not tell you thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Don't nobody have to pump and prime this way. I'm ready to flow. Hallelujah. I'm ready to let God have his way. I'm ready to show him how much I appreciate him. You know, mama told me that if somebody did something nice for you, at least you can do is say thank you. And if it had not been for the Lord waking all of us up this morning, somebody in here ain't said a word all service long, but at least you can do is open up your mouth and say thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, when somebody did something, when I was young, I learned this as a young boy, that when somebody did something for me that they didn't have to do, mama would say, now what you supposed to say? We supposed to say, I wish I had some people. Can I say supposed? We supposed to say thank you. We supposed to at least say, Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. If nothing else, we ought to look, we got a right, we got a reason and a responsibility to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to use my right. I'm going to be responsible for praising him. Amen. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to give God what he deserves. I can't really give. You know what? He don't want my money. Amen. Although I give according to the word of God, he doesn't want all of that other stuff. But if we can just take some time to give him praise, I wish I had somebody. We ought to at least give God a sacrifice of praise. Why do they call it a sacrifice of praise? Because sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes I don't feel like it. I don't feel good in my body, but I still praise him. Sometimes I don't have things going my way, but I still praise him. Sometimes it's hard for me to focus on praising him, but I still lift my hands and give God some praise. I still open up my mouth with the fruit of my lips. I know somebody said, oh, it don't take all of that. Maybe not for you, but whatever it takes for me, let me do. Don't hinder my praise. If I want to be loud, get off my road. Find you another road to go to. Come on and say amen. You ain't got to sit by me. Come on and say amen. I'm going to praise him anyhow. If you don't want me standing up, sit somewhere else. If you sitting in the back and I'm in your way, get on the front seat. Stop filling the back up and come to the front so you can see. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, glory be to God. I don't care what it is. You don't let somebody stop you from praising because they want to be all quiet and they don't want to say anything. They don't want to give God no praise. And well, I guess it don't mean that God didn't do anything for them, but maybe they don't realize how good God has been to them. Maybe they don't realize that they are here in the land of the living and you ought to praise God. David said these words. He said, what good will it do? And I'm paraphrasing. What good will it do for me to go down in the grave because I can't praise you from the grave? Lord, you got to let me stay living so I can keep lifting you up, so I can keep praising your name, so I can keep rising up every morning and saying, thank you, Jesus. Y'all with me this morning? Hallelujah. We glorify his name. He said we ought to praise God. One thing he said, he satisfied the longing of my soul. He filled my hunger and soul with goodness. We got to know that it's God that does these things. We didn't do it ourselves. I'm not intelligent enough to bless myself. I'm not good enough. I'm not rich enough to make myself feel good or give myself what I need. I know it's God that's supplying my need day by day. And you know what? And I guess somebody didn't realize that God God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And you know, you got them unjust cousins. You got them unjust family members. You ought to thank God for them too. You ought to thank God. I wish I had somebody. Your boss is full of the devil, but thank God that he let you work there. Oh, come on and say amen in here. Y'all don't hear me up in here. He says in verse number, let's go on, and I'm going to have to get finished. He says that verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. What was he saying here? He's saying that we have a cry. He said that they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. In their trouble. Now, what we got to understand here, the psalm writer is letting us know how we really are. People hadn't changed. We're still the same way. We go off and we forget about God. And then when trouble rise, we haste unto his throne. Oh, come on and say amen. The word there, trouble is the word tsar, T-S-A-R. And what it really means here, it means a narrow place. It means when they step on a pebble. You know how it is. You step on, you walk barefooted and you step on a rock. You say, ooh, that thing feel like it went in my foot when you're in trouble. He said when you're in a small place, when it seemed like, you know, we have spiritual claustrophobia, when we get to a place where things get tight on us, then we cry unto the Lord. We don't praise him when things are going good. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, we forget about him because we don't want to praise him. We want to party with them when things are going good. We want to go, you know, we want to have us a funky good time, you know, and we forget to give God his praise. And so here we are. He says that when we are in trouble, we cry unto the Lord. When we're in between a rock and a hard place, when we're in a tight, that's when we decide that we want to call on him. But you know, we need to learn how to call and praise him anyhow. Amen. He said, in my trouble, when I got in a tight spot, I cried to the Lord. When I got in a place where I didn't want to be, then I cried unto the Lord. All because I wasn't praising him at first. But notice something about God. God is always faithful. Verse 13, and he saved them out of their distresses. Amen. Look at what he did. He said he saved them out of their distresses. Now, what does that mean? He saved them out of the pit that was set for them. He saved them out of the ditch that somebody dug for them. The word distresses means the pit. It means the ditch. Come on and say amen. It also means the grave. I wish I had somebody. He said he saved them out of the ditch that folks had dug for them. He saved them out of the pit that somebody had wanted to put them in. I wish I had somebody. He saved them out of the grave because the devil wanted to kill you. I wish I had somebody here. He said they cried in the time of trouble, and the Lord, even though they didn't praise him, they didn't give him glory, they didn't honor the Lord, he still came to see about them. Do you know that we serve an awesome God, that even though we're not what we ought to be, even though we don't do what we're supposed to do, God still comes to see about us. God still comes and delivers us from the horrible pit. He still brings us up out of the ditch. I wish I had somebody. Do you know that somebody had a ditch dug for you, but God said that ditch can't be for them because I got something else for them? I wish I had somebody. Somebody had somebody. Oh yeah, they were on their shovel. They were jumping and digging. Oh, come on and say man. But God said that ditch won't be for them. Maybe it's for you, but not for I wish I had a few people here. Anybody ever had a ditch dug for you? Anybody had some plans for you? Somebody had some plans that they didn't want you to make it? Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. He saved them in their distresses. Verse 14, it continues to talk about it. He says, he brought them up out of darkness and the shadow of death and break bands asunder. Look at what God did here. They were in a condition. They cried out, but they were in a condition. God began to talk about how, he says, the psalmist began to talk about, he says that he brought them up out of darkness. In other words, they were just wandering in darkness. And just some of us were sitting like chickens in darkness, not doing nothing. And he said, and he brought them out of the what? Shadow of death. And we know that in order for it to be a shadow, there had to be some type of light. And so therefore God, Jesus said these words, he is the light of the world. And so because there was a light that was shining in dark places, places, I was able to come out of darkness. And not only did I just come out of darkness, because many of us, we get saved, but we still are bound by so many things. We get saved, but we still are bound. That's why we can't praise God like we should. We still are bound with certain things in our life, and we still have certain issues that we struggle with because we are what? Bound. Oh yeah, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe that God, he's the only begotten of the Father. I believe all of this, and I was baptized and believed, but I'm still bound, preacher. But look at what that scripture says. And he break bands, their bands in sunder. In other words, when we came to him, he decided that what had you bound up, oh, I gotta unbind your hands. I gotta take the shackles off your feet. I gotta take the handcuffs off your hands. And here we are, we still won't clap our hands, and we still won't lift them up. We still won't do a dance or run for him, even though he's taken off the bands of wickedness, even though he's taken off those things that had us bound after we got saved. He said, I took them and he broke them in sunder. In other words, he decided that this is not fit for you. It's not fit for a child of God to be bound up. It's not fit for a child of God to not be able to praise his God. So I need to make you free. Oh, come on and say amen here. Some of us, we were sick and couldn't praise God. So God said, let me get this boy well so he can give me some praise. Some of us were sick in our minds. Some of us were sin sick. I wish I had somebody. Some things had us bound. Some people had us bound. But glory be to God. He said that I gotta let them free. Oh, come on and say amen here. Well, let me give you a biblical example since y'all looking at me all funny and stuff. The biblical example is that Paul and Silas, they were put in a Philippian jail. And the Bible says at midnight. Now, Paul and Silas were bound in chains and fetters, and they were put down in the inner part of the prison, which means that they were in lockdown, and they decided in the midnight hour. They decided in the darkest time that they needed to give God some praise. They begin to pray and they sang praises unto God. And the Bible says, and their chains fell. I wish I had somebody up in here this morning that realized that if you got some chains on you, that if you can just praise the Lord, then guess what? Those chains will fall off. But not only did the chains fall off, but guess what else he said? He said, and the doors of the prison were open. But I like much more what he said. He said that everyone's bands were loosed. That means the people who wasn't even praising him, that were sitting there listening at them praise God, the folks that were in prison with them, somehow they got free because of two people deciding that I'm going to praise the Lord. Now, I'm just trying to tell somebody here today, we can look around, there's a whole bunch of folks that ain't going to praise him. But if I can get a couple of folks to have church with me, then I believe that some of them that's bound will finally be loosed. Some of them that are in their own little prisons will be set free. Do I have anybody up in here today that say, preacher, I'm with you, because where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'll be God in the midst. Do you want God in the midst of this trouble? Do you want God in the midst of your trial? Then I dare you to praise the Lord. I dare you to lift him up. I dare you to holler hallelujah and praise his holy name. Oh, he says that he bands asunder. 15, and oh, that men, again, would men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works for the children of men. His goodness, his kindness, his beauty, his favor, his favor. He said if we would just praise God because he's favored us. You know how it is. I don't know why I'm your favorite, but I'm your favorite. Amen. It's not that I gave you anything to be your favorite. You just love me. That's how God, he praised him because he's favored us. We didn't do anything to deserve this, but he's just good. And then verse 16, for he hath, look at this, not only did he take away our bands of that had us bound, but look at what else he did. Verse 16, he had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Now look at this. First, he says verse 16 says that he broke the gates of brass. And that what he's saying here is that the enemy has a special type of jail that he wants you to be in. He don't just put you in a jail because, you know, he want to put you in something special. He has a special kind of bondage that he wants you in. He has a tailor-made, an expensive jailhouse for you. I wish I had somebody. He says that not only that, but he cut the bars of iron in sunder. In other words, God has said not only did he take off the handcuffs and the shackles, but he opened up the jailhouse. He cut the bars so that you could escape. I wish I had some people in here that understood what it means to what escape. We have to learn how to escape. Do you know that the Bible tells us that God always provides a way of escape? No matter what we get in, it's up to us to take that way of escape, but sometimes we let it pass and we say, oh, I don't really know what to do. God said, take the escape route. Oh, come on and say amen. That's what the escape route is for. It's for you to get out when it's time of trouble. It's for you to know how to break the glass, put it out, and I wish I had somebody. It's for you to press on the door, and the door opens up, and you get out of this thing. Come on and say amen. Some of us, we stay in our trouble because we want to stay. We don't know that God has already provided a way, and we try to look and say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Let me tell you how you're going to make it. You're going to make it by the grace of the Lord. Let me tell you, I don't know how I'm going work this out. Let me tell you, you don't have to work it out. God has already worked it out. While you're trying to figure it out, notice that he's already working. Oh, the Bible said that all things work together for my good. And when I look at what my good is, that means everything that's working for me is going to benefit me in a positive way. I know it doesn't look good right now, but it's working for my good. If God be for me, then who can be against? I know God is on my side. I know that I'm on God's side. I wish I had somebody that said, today I'm choosing to be on the Lord's side. He said he's broken the gates of brass and he cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression. He's talking about this condition we got. He said we're afflicted because of our iniquities. Look at this. I want you to catch it. He says the reason why, he said we have trouble, we are afflicted, we are uncomfortable and diseased, is because of our iniquities and because of our transgression. The word transgression means because I broke the law. I went beyond the boundary. Now, the society we live in today, they keep saying that there is no boundary. Every time there is a line drawn, they move it back. Because they say we can go as far as we want to go and do as much as we want to do, and there is no penalty for it. But they contradict themselves because they penalize the poor man all the time. Oh, let me leave that alone here. He says the transgression and their iniquity. What is iniquity? It is the hidden thing. The stuff that we hold on to in our heart that we really should be letting go of. The hidden thing causes us to be afflicted. The hidden thing, what you hiding? What you got down in your heart that you say, I don't want to let go of? What do we have in our heart? We don't want to let go of people sometimes. Let me talk about that. We hold bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart. Amen. And we don't want to let go. That's iniquitous. We have hidden sin that we don't nobody. We know, you know how we testify, but we get to that part that we don't want nobody to know. We start, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because we can't say that. Because it's embarrassing. But we still hold on to our secret iniquity. Amen. But the Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The word bruised for our iniquity, notice what it said. A bruise is what? Underneath the skin. A bruise is actually a wound underneath the skin. And so when you get a bruise, the blood comes and rises up. Even though it doesn't come out of the skin, you know that it's a sore spot. and something happened underneath the skin. And so guess what? Even for the things that happens underneath the skin, he said that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. So Jesus paid the price for it all. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. But he says then, verse 18, let's go further. He says, He said, their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. He said that we are afflicted, and he said our soul, we have a certain appetite. Because of our appetite, we end up in death. The Bible said the carnal mind is what? Death. The carnal mind is a rebel against the things of God. The carnal mind is death, and it breeds death. It does not bring life. And so we have to get out of the carnality of mind and start having the mind of Christ. Oh, I wish I had some people in here today.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries.